dream gifts. Part 2. The Girl Who Doesn't Blink. She wasn't just dreaming anymore. She had crossed over. That's the only way I can explain what happened next. Because after Ellie told me, "The girl comes here now," things in the house shifted. Subtly at first, like the smell. There was this faint, sour, sweet stench like old meat left in plastic. It was strongest in Ellie's room, especially near her closet. But the closet was always empty. No raccoons, no rot, just that smell and this heavy, watching feeling. The girl, whoever, whatever she was, started getting bold. One night I passed by Ellie's room and saw her standing beside the bed, arms stiff at her sides, just staring at the wall. I asked her what she was doing. She whispered, "She's standing in the corner. She doesn't blink. If I blink before she does, I lose." I walked in, turned the light on, nothing, but Ellie screamed, said I'd made the girl angry, said I should say sorry. I told her, "It's not real." And Ellie started to cry, not tantrum cry, grief cry, as if I'd just said something so cruel it broke her. She didn't talk to me for 2 days after that. And then came the whispering. Not voices in the usual sense, no. It was a dry, clicking sound, like bones tapping glass, forming words. Always coming from inside Ellie's closet. Except the closet led nowhere but drywall. I put a baby monitor in there. Just to hear. Just to know. At 2:14 a.m., the feed picked up a sound. I swear to God, he'll believe soon. Take the heart next time. And that morning she handed me a jar, glass, dusty. Inside, floating in pale yellow liquid, was what looked like a rabbit's heart. Except the shape was wrong. And the veins were braided like rope, like someone made them that way. I screamed, dropped it. The glass didn't break, the jar didn't fall. It hovered, just for a second, then lowered itself softly to the floor. Ellie just looked up from her cereal, bored. "Be careful," the girl said, "it's a lonely one." I needed answers, so I did something stupid. I slept on Ellie's bed, alone. I wanted to see it, the place, the girl, whatever was happening. I told Ellie I needed to help her. She smiled. "If you really go, don't look at her hands. If you see them, she'll know what you are, what I am." But she was already climbing into my bed instead. Hugging her stuffed rabbit like none of this was twisted beyond repair. That night I dreamed black trees, twisted trunks, dry soil, a blood-red moon overhead. And her, the girl. She didn't walk, she slid. Face pale and too wide, hair hanging straight down like dripping ink. And her hands, oh God, I looked. She had too many fingers, all of them broken backward. They curled and stretched like wet twigs when she reached for me. And her mouth whispered a sound I felt in my teeth. "I like how she opens doors, but I like what's behind yours even more." I woke up screaming, sweat pouring down my neck. Ellie was at the door, smiling. Not like a child smiles, but like something trapped in a child was learning the shape of joy. She said, "You looked at her hands. Now she knows where we keep your skin." Thanks for watching. Leave a comment for part 3.